Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than deny myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here, so let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 101 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Linda Varghese. Linda lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she's originally from India, and she works as a pathologist. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Jen. It's so nice to talk to you.
Well, it's great to talk to you today. You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
Sure. So the first time I heard about the term intermittent fasting was actually in 2016. You know, I've been trying to lose weight for like ever. And then around 2016, I guess, was Dr. Michael Mosley, I think is his name.
Yes.
He was a proponent of the 5-2 fast, intermittent fast. And he had a book on it and a lot of blogs on it. And so I came across that. And so I thought, okay, let me go ahead and try that. So that was a fast where, you know, it's a 5-2, which means 2 days you eat less than 500 calories, and then the rest of the 5 days you eat normal.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by all of those plans, those alternate daily fasting plans early on too, because I was like, oh, you only need to, quote, diet 2 days a week. That sounded just really awesome.
That's right. That's right. And he, you know, there was some science behind it too. And so I kind of liked that. So I tried that and I was trying to extend my 500 calories throughout the day. So like 100 calorie, maybe breakfast and then 100 calorie lunch. So it was getting to be too tedious. And then the rest of the 5 days, I kind of felt like I was compensating for that. So anyway, I tried that for almost 2 years. And then towards the end of 2018, the term time-restricted feeding or the daily intermittent fasting was kind of getting more mainstream. And so then I heard about the 16-8 fast. So then I thought, okay, that'll fit more with my, you know, I'm like, I want something consistent that I can do every day. And so I started doing that.
Now I have a question for you. That was, you did 5-2 for 2 years.
On and off, actually.
Okay. You know,
when I really got frustrated, I would get off and then again jump back on. But yeah, I kind of tried for about almost 2 years.
And did you have weight loss success with it?
I did. But, you know, it was all white knuckling, as you often
right.
say. It was
yes.
tedious. It was not something that I was comfortable. You know, it was always like a stressful thing. You know, it's like something to do.
Those 2 days were not enjoyable.
No. And the rest of the days too, I'm like, oh, the, you know, my 500 calorie day is coming. And so then I need to overeat to compensate. You know, it was
right.
always like a mental juggling there. And then, so finally, when I started the time restricted feeding or intermittent daily fasting, I tried that, started that about end of 2018, but still it was not clean fasting, which is a term I didn't know till I started listening to you, Jen, and read your book.
Well, thank you. You know, we did kind of make that up in our Facebook support groups. Gosh, maybe it was in 2018 itself is when we started using that terminology. It's actually not in Delayed on Deny. I did not use the term because we hadn't been saying it yet. So it's not,
yeah.
it's not in the book, the first book. It's in my new book, Fast, Feast, Repeat. But
okay.
You know, I love the idea of the clean fast because that's when our bodies can clean. You know, we're cleaning behind the scenes because we're fasting clean. And so, but you're right. Not knowing about the clean fast, like when you were doing those 2 days of the 500 calories, I remember doing that too. It was so hard.
Exactly. And so when I shifted to the daily 16-8 fasting again, it was with the dirty fasting. So I was doing the creamer and the coffee and the Splenda and the Stevia. And then I read somewhere, I don't know where, that if you keep your calories less than 50 calories, you're not breaking your fast.
That is a rumor that is everywhere. People loved, I mean, like I heard that too early on. Oh, if it's less than 50 calories, it doesn't break the fast. I mean, with that mindset, you could like eat a jelly bean every 15 minutes and still be fasting, right?
Exactly.
That's nonsense. When you think about it.
Yes. So even though I was losing some weight on and off, it was so stressful. And then it was around May of 2019. So last year, 2019 May, I was starting to listen to different podcasts and I came across your and Melanie's podcast, the Intermittent Fasting podcast.
Yes.
And so, and then I listened to you and you guys, and you were talking about clean fasting and how, you know, easy and stress-free it is once you start clean fasting. And I was like hooked on, and I read Dr. Jason Fung's Obesity Code. And then of course your, this podcast, Intermittent Fasting Stories, and your book, Delay Don't Deny, and then decided, okay, I'm going to jump in and start this clean fasting. So it was May 12th of 2019. I remember the date because that was Mother's Day last year.
Aww.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do, you know, start with black tea, black coffee. And Jen, I tell you, I hated black coffee. It was so bitter.
Right?
It was like drinking motor oil or something.
Get it. Yeah.
So I had to kind of diluted. I added a lot of ice and then gulp it down and then gulp a whole glass of water after it, you know, whatever I could do to just to keep myself, you know, in the clean fasting till I could break my fast. And so that started in May of 2019. And, you know, it took a while in the beginning, maybe a couple of weeks, I want to say at least a month for me to get used to that. But then after that, I tell you, just like you said, it became so easy, like clockwork, you know, it's just fit into
yeah.
my life. And yeah,
and can I just interrupt you again and say, I really want people who don't understand the power of the clean fast to just, it's not because I'm trying to like take everything that is good of life away from you during the fast and make you suffer through this black coffee because I'm, you know, bossy. It's because I really have heard what Linda, you know, what you're saying right now. I have heard this from thousands of people who have tried it both ways. And once you adjust to the clean fast, you're going to be able to tell the difference. You know, we only think that those things are making the fast easier. We only think the creamer is helping us. We only think the sweetener is helping us. You know, we could call them crutches, those things that, you know, we think the little bit of butter in your coffee, whatever it is that you're holding on to. So I just want to challenge everybody. I have this in Fast Feast Repeat. It's called the Clean Fast Challenge. For people who, you know, are stuck on the 50 calories doesn't break the fast, or I read it in this blog, or I saw this YouTube video that said that stevia is okay because it doesn't whatever. I want to challenge you to try it. Just, you know, like you did, Linda, for everybody else who might not get it yet, try it for a month. Give yourself a month, the gift of the clean fast for 1 month. Black coffee, black tea, green tea, plain water, unflavored, no sweeteners, no creamers, not a little bit of almond milk, nothing. That's all food. And then experience it for yourself. You can tell I'm passionate about it because I really want people to feel the difference.
Yeah, I agree. And it actually makes your fasting times so much more easier. I mean, once you try it and get used to it, it's just, I never want to go back.
It's true. You know, I used to think gum was helping me through the fast back when I didn't understand before I read the obesity code. Man, I chewed a lot of gum. Like I always was popping a new piece of gum in my mouth. But I haven't chewed gum probably since 2016.
Huh.
As soon as I read the obesity code, there went the gum. Yep. And man, it made a difference.
Oh, totally. And then for me, something else that I had to tweak, Jen, is so in the beginning, in May, when I started my intermittent, you know, the clean fasting, all the blogs and most of your, you know, stories and everything, the people were fasting breakfast and lunch and mostly doing dinner.
Right.
Well, I have always been a breakfast person. And then with my job as a pathologist, and it's mentally very challenging, but I still try to push my window towards the dinner, and it was hard. And finally I thought, you know what, I'm gonna maybe turn it around and eat breakfast or maybe lunch and then fast dinner. And once I started doing that, moving my window up in the morning, it just completely fit into my lifestyle. And
I know
you always say tweak it till it becomes your plan,
right?
So
I think that's really important for people who are really struggling with trying to find the time of day and feel it feels forced. If you continue to do it and it feels forced, experiment with that eating window timing, just like you did. So you eat breakfast and lunch typically?
I do. So what I do is I break my fast around 9 a.m. in the morning. So I have breakfast then and maybe lunch around 12 or 1. So I'm like a, not an OMAD, but maybe a 2 meal, I don't know if that's a term,
right,
but 2 meals a day, most day. And then that's it. And then I close the window around noon and then don't eat till next day morning. And that's working perfectly for me. And I, Jen, I've binge listened to all your stories. And I think it was, I don't know if it was episode 69, I forget it, one of the 60s episode where you had one person who said she does the same thing. Eats
right
in the morning, 9 to 12. And I'm like, hallelujah, there's someone else out there like me.
Yep. And I actually did an informal survey in the one of the Facebook groups last year just to get an idea. And there are people, you know, it's a very small percentage. I have these numbers in Fast Feast Repeat. So anybody who has that, you can look in the eating window chapter to see. But there is a small percentage of people who have a morning window. A couple of the moderators, we have 60-something moderators, and a couple of them are morning window people. It really, if it works for you, then it really, really does. So I, you know, all the research on circadian rhythm, you know, we're not all the same. And you know when it feels right. That's what I think.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I do have social obligations and dinners and stuff I have to go to. So if need be, I'll just switch my window that day or just extend it to maybe an 8-hour window. So I'm not, you know, it's not like it's strict morning. You know, if I need to change it, I do change it up and then come back to when I need to. So.
And that's the beauty of it. You really can be flexible with it. And, you know, if you do shift it later, you'll have a little bit of a longer fast that day.
That's right.
But if you have a longer window, that is also fine.
Exactly, exactly. It's a lifestyle, as you always say. You know, it's not like a diet or it's not restrictive. It's just a lifestyle. And, you know, it's just as life changes, your daily routine changes, you may have to tweak it a little bit here and there. But overall, you're gonna have that restriction, which is so important for keeping your insulin low. So,
how has your weight loss gone?
So I'm 45 years old and I'm 5'3" and I'm medium built, and I have only been 15 to 20 pounds overweight all my life. So I know the numbers don't look that high, But Jin, that extra 20 pounds on me was actually causing more problems than someone who is, let's say, 50 or 100 pounds overweight. It's because of the way I carry the weight.
Right.
My build or phenotype is I'm a person who carries almost all my fat either in my face or my abdomen. And so even if it was just 20 pounds, it's all just packed there. My extremities right. are very thin. It's almost like, have you heard of the Cushingoid features where you have the
yes.
moon face and the
like
belly
Cushing's
and all that?
Disease.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That's the term they use. And so I already had abdominal obesity. If you look at the measurements for, have you heard of metabolic syndrome where they talk about the risk factors?
Yes. Explain that to people real quick, what that is coming from you as a pathologist, as a physician.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, metabolic syndrome, it's like a group of risk factors. They look at different numbers to predict your risk for getting a heart disease or diabetes later on. So a couple of things they look at is the abdominal, your waist measurement. And for there's like a waist to hip ratio where you measure your waist circumference and then divide it by the measurement of the hip. And so they want women to have a ratio of 0.85 or less, and for men, 0.9 or less, which means for women around more than 36 inches of the waist circumference, or for men more than 40 inches is shown as a risk factor for getting diabetes and heart disease later on. And then, of course, there's other numbers in it. That's like your blood pressure, your fasting glucose should be less than 100 or 110. And there's your triglycerides. There's multiple numbers in it. And all together is what's the metabolic syndrome. And so you want to make sure your abdominal, you know, waist to hip ratio is less. And for me, even with that 15 to 20 pound increase, I was way above those numbers. So I knew right. I had to cut down. And Jin, I also have a back problem called spondylolisthesis, which means mm-hmm. one of my vertebrae slipped over the other. And so any amount of pressure on my spine causes extreme back pain. So for me, that also was another reason why I had to cut down. And there's another reason, Jin, is it's more emotional, was my addiction to food, I want to say. It's like the food was always, I was so obsessed with food all the time. It's right. always, you know, what am I going to eat? When am I going to eat? And I'm eating breakfast and already thinking about the snack. And then after that, what's for lunch? It's like food is this emotional companion for me, whether I'm happy or sad or stressed. And I just wanted to get a control over that. So because of these two reasons I was trying all this stuff all my life and then finally came to the intermittent fasting in 2016. So the clean fasting I started in May, and it took me about 4 or 5 months. By October, I had completely lost that 15 pounds. I was down
Love
to
it.
My, yeah, goal weight. So that was amazing.
So the clean fast really made a difference in how you were losing the weight also.
Exactly. Because till then, I would lose like 5 pounds and then gain another 5. It was just like a yo-yo going
right.
back and forth, white knuckling it. But then once I started the clean fasting in May, it just kept dropping.
I love to hear that because I really believe in the science of this. And, you know, not everybody agrees with me on the clean fast. And some people are like, well, it's better to do at least something versus not do it at all. And I really do think that the clean fast should be what people strive for and start with. And because, you know, I wasted a lot of time not fasting clean because, heck, we didn't really understand it. You know, the obesity code, thank goodness, really helped me to clarify, oh, okay, this stevia is not helping me at all. And once I understood the insulin connection, it all made sense.
That's right. Because now, you know, we as physicians are also understanding that obesity is not just increased calories and decreased exercise. It's a hormonal disease. And it's because of the high insulin and insulin resistance. And even if the stevia and Splenda, they have zero calories, they are actually causing your insulin to spike. And anything that causes the insulin to spike is just going to feed that vicious cycle of high insulin resistance. And to cut that cycle, to break that cycle, the only thing is fasting, and that too, clean fasting.
Right. I think so too. And the whole idea that so many of the chronic conditions, you know, metabolic syndrome that you just discussed, but so many of the other things that are going on, autoimmune issues that are such on the rise, so many of these things are related to hyperinsulinemia, having high levels of insulin all the time. you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome, all these different things are related to the high levels of insulin. So, you know, the fasting just helps us to keep those levels of insulin down in a way that, you know, the modern society is just not doing.
That's right. And initially, I think people thought, okay, maybe if you just eat healthy, if you just cut refined carbohydrates and starchy food out of your diet, you can get the insulin down. But studies are showing that once it's a time dependent, a process. So, you know, once the insulin resistance sets in after years of unhealthy eating, even if you cut out those food, it's just going to stay high. And fasting is the only thing that has shown to break that and bring
it
down. So that's why, you know, I know people who say, oh, I eat healthy. I cut all carbs and I've cut all sugar, but still my weight is not budging. And that's exactly the reason, because it just, the insulin resistance just feeds on itself, even if you're eating healthy.
Right. And then you have to take the drastic measures now. Maybe you wouldn't have needed those drastic measures 30 years ago, 20 years ago, or whenever the problem started to build. But once you're at that point, it's like putting out the fire. You know, you've got to put it out.
Exactly.
Or it just keeps burning. I don't know. That's my analogy for today. But
yep.
But you get it. And it's also why people who have been overweight or obese for a long time may find that, you know, you start intermittent fasting and the weight doesn't just fall right off, because you have to correct, you know, these decades of issues.
That's right. That's right. So I always tell people, you know, it took me, even though I was doing that 5-2 fast for 2 years and then started the clean fasting in May, it took me at least 2 months to kind of get, I could feel that inflammation and the bloating
right.
and all going down. It took a while. And so, yeah, just to be persistent and just not to throw in the towel after a week or two.
Right. Don't make a post in the Facebook group that says it's day 10 and I haven't lost any weight yet. I'm so upset. Don't do that, y'all. Please don't. You're not. It's okay. You know, 10 weeks from now, we will help you troubleshoot. We will help you figure out what to do. But 10 days, no.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you brought up that chronic disease part, because as I said, I'm a pathologist. I don't have a lot of patient contact. You know, we're like the doctor's doctor or behind the scenes
right.
doctor.
Yeah.
Where we deal with the treating physician. I mean, I do procedures like bone marrow biopsies and fine needle aspiration. And so that's the extent of the patient contact. But I study diseases under the microscope, and I'm surprised at, you know, how more than 80% of the chronic diseases, how much they're connected to our dietary habits and our poor choice of food. I know you talk about Dr. Madsen's article in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Yes.
Where, yes, it came out in December in the New England Journal. And we were all so excited to see that, because he talks about what intermittent fasting does at the molecular and the cellular
right.
level, which really made me happy as a pathologist to see.
Because you see it. I mean, you like are looking at, I mean, you look at things under a microscope, right?
Exactly, exactly. And so to know the science, yes, it's decreasing insulin and breaking the cycle, but under the microscopic level, you know, it's increasing mitochondrial function, it's increasing antioxidant function, it's removing all the damaged proteins, and it's recycling the undamaged, you know, there's so much at the molecular level that's happening, you know, increase in the transcription factors and the receptors. And it's amazing what science has gone into to show what intermittent fasting does to the body. That it was so encouraging to see that article come out. It was timely.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because when a layperson like me reads it, you know, I read it and I get excited and I understand enough science because of all the reading that I've done, the studying that I've done, but I'm a layperson. I'm not a medical professional. And so I am not going to understand things to the depth that you are. Because I was very excited to read his article, but to hear that you were very excited to read his article from the,
yes.
the perspective of your job is even more thrilling.
Yes, because, you know, initially when I go to the doctor's lounge and I tell people about when I say people, the other physicians, about intermittent fasting, there's a lot of fear among the physicians. Like, they're like, oh, this is extreme starvation. Oh, it's going to deplete you of nutrients, or you're going to lose muscle mass. And, you know, oh, it's going to cause hypoglycemia. There's all this fear in the mind of the physicians that's kind of stopping them from, you know, looking more into it or telling the patients about it. And now with the obesity code and now with these articles, it's actually, it's opening up, it's becoming more mainstream among the physicians too. It's showing them, hey, it doesn't actually deplete you. It actually, if you eat one nutritious meal a day, that's enough than eating all day, you know, a bad food. And then it's showing that the growth hormone goes up. So actually, instead of losing muscle, it's actually preserving your lean muscle mass. And then studies have shown that your epinephrine level, the noradrenaline, you know, levels are going up. So you're actually having more energy instead of being weak or losing focus.
Instead of being weak and hangry and right.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I actually heard, I don't know if this is true or just a rumor, but I think someone reported that they heard this on a podcast that Dr. Mark Mattson may have said that he wrote that article for the New England Journal of Medicine. They were asked to write it by the New England Journal of Medicine because physicians were asking about fasting, because so many patients had been going to their doctors and saying the words intermittent fasting. And the doctors, you know, just like you just said, the ones you're running across in the doctor's lounge are like a little suspicious. They didn't really know. Is it good? Is it bad? And so the New England Journal of Medicine asked Dr. Mattson to write this article so physicians would have a source.
That's
to
interesting.
See. That's what I heard it through, yes, the rumor mill. But
because for us, the New England Journal is like the Bible, you know, that's
right.
Like the most prestigious journal out there. And if it's quoted in the NEJM, then everybody just accepts it. And so, okay, so I'm glad it happened because now they have something to go back to. I mean, there's a lot of other studies too in other journals,
right,
too, called time-restricted feeding. And I think there's something that talks about early time-restricted feeding, like eating more in the morning hours, which I kind of like because that's what I do. I think it's a small study so far, but
yeah, the one that we've got, there's a study that we have, and you know, I always go to the study to read it myself to see, you know, what did they actually do. And you know, I taught science lab to elementary kids, so I'm big on controlling variables and you know, keeping everything the same except the one thing that you're changing. That's what I taught my elementary kids. You know, whatever you want to study, change that one thing. And I know as a scientist, you understand that completely. But the study that people talk about a lot, the early time restricted feeding study, was done with one group of people who had an early eating window. They were compared to people who ate all day.
That's right.
So they found that the early eating window was better than eating all day. But what they didn't compare the early eating window to was an equal later eating window. That's the study I want to see. I want a study where they have an early eating window, maybe a midday eating window, a late day eating window, all other factors being equal, just that. And I want them to have people do it long enough. Because so many of these studies, they have people doing the fasting protocol, whatever it is, for like 2 weeks. You know that our bodies aren't even adapted yet in 2 weeks to
That's
the,
right.
You know, we're not fat adapted. So if we have a really short intermittent fasting study, it's not going to give us the full details. Once we, you know, all Mattson talks about it in all of his work, you know, the process is what we have to go through to become fat adapted. You know, flipping the metabolic switch. That was one,
yes,
of his articles that he wrote in an earlier journal. And I love that one because it really, you know, it's like aha, so many aha moments when I was reading it. But we have to give our body time to adjust. So,
yeah, it's flipping as in the sense of instead of glucose, we are using,
right,
actually fat and ketones to, you know, for energy. So
you have to develop the ability to flip it, because the people who are eating all day long that are on the glucose-based metabolism for years and years and years, just from the frequent eating and snacking, you know, those people aren't just going to start fasting tomorrow and boom, now they're tapping into fat. You got to build up those mechanisms behind the scenes that you probably understand 1,000 times better than I do.
That's right. And he, in his article, I just remembered, he talks about, you know, how intermittent fasting actually increases your, not just the, I mean, increased resistance to stress, not at the, just at the cell level, but overall, you know, in your body, your resistance is increasing to stress, which is amazing because, you know, then you can just, stress doesn't bother you, which is amazing,
yeah,
in this day and age when stress causes so much of the disease process. And to have something like that, a tool in your toolkit just to be able to, yeah, deal with stress. That's amazing.
And you, when you really dig into the research and hear that, that's important because there's also a rumor out there, just like the one you mentioned earlier about 50 calories doesn't break the fast, that rumor that gets spread. Yeah. There's also a rumor that fasting is too much stress for people, especially women. So don't do it. Or like you should only do it, you know, here and there and then stop doing it. And so, you know, to hear you talk about the stress aspect of it.
That's right. And they have shown that in studies. So I would, that's a complete rumor if people think that it's going to stress your body. It's actually at the molecular level, it's cleaning up all your proteins and it's preparing your body. And with the autophagy, it's actually cleaning up your brain and increasing your memory and increasing your ability to deal with stress and clarity and focus. And I would say it's the opposite.
Yep, exactly. Now, there's a possibility that someone could do too much fasting. Like if you decided to do like a 30-day fast, that's going to be a lot of stress on the body. Or, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about intermittent fasting. You can overdo the fasting. You know, anything. You could overdo drinking water. You could overdo. Mm-hmm. So anything that's good for you, you could do too much of it. And so fasting is no different. It's finding that balance.
And I think the physicians who are on board now are trying to tell people to start it slow, not to be like a hero. And if you're never fasted, to jump onto like 24 hours, start it slow, maybe 10 hours and then 12 hours and then slowly push it to. And what they're suggesting is maybe go up to 16 hours and to do it. So start slow and then do like a daily time restricted feeding is, I think, the more term that the physicians are using now instead of fasting. Intermittent fasting.
I think so. Yeah, time-restricted eating really is a great way of looking at it because it doesn't give that same feeling of fasting. Just sounds so restrictive.
Yeah.
So we'll hear that more and more, I think.
And overall, I can see in the medical field how everything we... I did my medical school training in the late 90s. So that was when, you know, it was a low-fat diet and eat 6 meals a day. And the whole food pyramid was inverted. You know, it's like breads and rice and pastas every day and then meat and fat sparingly. So there's a lot of stuff that we have to unlearn before, you know, in our lives and then take it to our patients. Like, you know, it's okay to fast and it's okay to eat good fats and you don't have to eat, you know, 6 meals a day. 1 meal a day, if it's nutritious, is more than enough to take care of you. You know, stuff like that. It's a lot of unlearning that the physicians have to do.
Absolutely. And people are worried about that too. What you just said, that one nutritious meal a day is enough for your body because, you know, just like you mentioned, the food pyramid, we've mm-hmm. been given all these nutritional guidelines, like make sure you get, you know, X, Y, Z every single day. And so people think, wait, I can't get all of those daily allowance requirements in one meal a day. So can you speak to that for a minute?
Yeah, so the studies they have shown is even if you're eating like one meal a day, if it is nutritious, overall it's shown that that is enough to sustain you.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. so good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
Compared to someone else who is spreading out and eating 6 meals a day and eating other, you know, more junk food and less nutritious food. Overall, if you take, I mean, maybe on a daily basis, there could be some different levels of nutrients going in. But then when you look at it overall, maybe in a weekly or in a monthly calculation, your body is getting enough nutrition. And it's also more beneficial because then you're adding that fasting hours in between, and all the wonderful, beautiful microscopic stuff we talked about is also happening on top of that. So you're actually, whatever you're eating is a channel to more nutritious and more productive in your body. And so overall, I think that's what the studies have shown, that it's not going to cause hypoglycemia, it's not going to cause starvation, but it's the opposite. It actually clearing the inflammation and getting the body, cleaning up the mitochondria and making it, you know, making the cell cycle more efficient. It's just a better result.
Right. And it's the overall pattern of what we're eating that matters. You know, you want to eat a variety of foods from day to day instead of feeling like you have to meet the whole recommended daily allowance every single day of the week.
Exactly.
It happens over time. And that's the part that you know, people worry about until, you know, I just remember when my boys were little and worried about the, you know, what they were eating. Maybe one day they weren't hungry at all. And the doctor's like, don't worry about it. It's over time. It's, you know, today he ate this, tomorrow he'll eat that. It's the overall pattern that matters.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, people, if they want to, I mean, I'm a person who still, I like carbs. And so I do, I'm not like, I haven't completely cut carbs out and not even low carb. I do eat, like, I like my breads and I like pasta and rice and all that, but not every day, maybe once in a while. And that kind of diet helps me. But, you know, if you want to go totally low carb, if you want to go keto, you know, however you want to do it, it's totally fine. You know, you can tweak it during your eating window. I have found that I still have cut out sweets because I found that it just doesn't sit well with me. My body has flushed out all that inflammation, it just gets me back into that bloating. So that's something I stay away from.
Yeah, I sadly have come to that same realization for me, and it's really, I'm sad about it because I love ice cream and I would like to have ice cream. There was a time I was eating ice cream every day, but my body has let me know through no uncertain terms that it does not like that much sugar.
Mm-hmm. I think once you get used to that healthy eating, your body just tells you, hey, this is not going to sit well. You don't feel good after.
You know, I'm a little mad about that, but because, you know, I'm like, I want to bake brownies and have, but I don't want to have, you know, restless legs. So I'm eating like a grown up, and sometimes I'll have it and sometimes I won't, but more times than not, the answer is no.
Yep. And for me, of course, I talked about the weight loss and the back pain is gone. I used to have a lot of migraines before, maybe stress induced, and that has gone down like so much. I used to get migraines like every other day, and now it's like maybe once a month, and that too, not even, you know, that severe. It's just a mild headache or something. And
that's great.
If I eat during my eating window, if I'm doing too much sugar or too much carb, I do see that there's an up in the migraines. So stuff like that. And then bloating. I used to be very bloated in the evenings a lot before I started the clean fasting, and that's completely gone.
That's wonderful. So your gut is changing too. Your gut microbiome's probably had some positive.
Yes. Yes. And so as you say, that there's a lot of non-scale victories. I do weigh myself even now consistently, maybe not every day, but maybe every other day or a couple of times a week. I like to see some, you know, some numbers just to track, but then I don't hold myself to a particular weight. I have like a 5 to 10 pound kind of a window.
Right. A range.
Just to keep myself.
Works.
Yeah. But I can tell with all the back pain and the migraine and stuff that's gone, I know it's working. I don't have to look at my weight to know that this is working.
And you can just probably feel like overall level of inflammation, like you talked about before, you had a really puffy face. Is that better?
Yes, yes. And the overall, yes, yes, totally.
We see that a lot. Like when people show their before and afters, you really see a difference in the overall, in the face and people's eyes. Like people have such more vibrant eyes in their after photos.
Yeah. And as I said, I skipped dinner. And so initially I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to come back from work and I'm not eating. And I'm going to be so tired because that's the time I spend with my kids and my husband. And now I find I'm so alert and energetic, and I can actually channel my energy into spending time with my family or cooking or, you know, doing other stuff. I'm not just bogged down with eating and thoughts of food. And so it's been such a blessing. It's almost like I can channel my energy into other productive stuff, you know, getting my life back kind of, and have to think about eating only, you know, when I open my window at 9 and then close it at 1, and that's it. After that, it's out of my mind. I don't have to think about it.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal, or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So what happened with your waist measurement? I know you were talking about before that you had a really big waist measurement. How has that changed for you?
Yep. And that's all come down. And now, thankfully, I'm under that ratio for the abdominal obesity. Yeah. So that's another measurement I keep track of. And that's staying there. And, you know, I know as long as I continue this, it's going to stay put. So yeah.
So you would say that you were experiencing metabolic syndrome, and now you're not.
Exactly. Yep. That's completely reversed. My cholesterol did go up a little bit right after I started intermittent fasting. And so when I went to my primary care, she was a little bit concerned about that and wanted to put me on a medication. But I was trying to tell them, hey, with intermittent fasting, actually, initially, the LDL levels may go up a bit. And then I had another test recently, and it's completely come down.
Love it. Well, from a doctor's perspective, can you explain why the LDL might go up at first? Because we hear that a lot.
That's right. And so with the now that the glucose is not being metabolized, it's the fat that's broken down into free fatty acid and glycerol. And then that's going into the liver where, you know, 80% of the cholesterol that the body needs actually is made in our body, and only 20% actually comes from the diet we eat. And so with the increased levels of breaking down of fat and the free fatty acid and glycerol and stuff, and there's more metabolites for the liver to synthesize more of the cholesterol. So then initially you start seeing, and the body, this is all new to the body too, new to the liver, because, you know, with the flipping of the switch. And so there's sudden increase in production of lipids, and so the LDL curve starts going up. But once the body gets used to that, and that's like the new mode of processing in the cell cycle, and then it starts going down because the body just adjusts to that, the new mode of how things are broken down in the body and how energy is produced. And so when it gets used to that, and it takes a while. So that's why I was telling my PCP, you know, this is going to go down. And then I just recently had a fasting lipid test done and everything was back to normal. So just once the body starts getting used to the new mode of energy production and knows that, you know, you don't need to keep bumping up your LDL. So it just goes back to, it gets into a new rhythm.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I'm glad that you explained that because, and I'm also pretty sure your primary care doctor was glad that you understood that and could explain that to her, right?
That's right. And I actually have a cardiologist friend. I was trying to explain this to him. And, you know, some physicians are still old school and don't want to think that, you know, you can get all your energy from fat alone and ketones.
Right.
And so it's going to take some more time. But I want to mention my sister is actually an endocrinologist. So she treats diabetic patients. That's her specialty. So I initially used to talk to her about intermittent fasting. And then some of her patients have started intermittent fasting. And then she saw that they cut down their dose of insulin or some patients actually completely came off insulin.
Love it.
And so Wow. She was so impressed that she got on board. And now she and her husband, who is an anesthesiologist, they both are doing 16-8 fast because, you know, there's so many patients coming by talking about intermittent fasting. So that's a great testament. I think when the physicians look at their levels and see that, hey, they don't need that much insulin anymore and all they're doing is fasting.
That really just gave me the chills, really, because that is so exciting, you know, that your endocrinologist sister is not only seeing amazing results in her patients who are doing intermittent fasting, but decided to adopt the lifestyle herself along with her anesthesiologist husband.
That's right. That's right.
That's amazing.
So it is slowly but surely, it is kind of becoming mainstream among the physicians too. So that's good news. My dad, well, I've tried, he's an internist too. And Jen, he does a lot of research on the gut microbiome and not in an intermittent fasting. What he does is the probiotics. So he has research on how homemade yogurt 3 times a day, which is like one of the best probiotics, how that has helped patients with either IBS or irritable bowel syndrome or IBD, inflammatory bowel disease. So he has about 500 patients. He lives in Kentucky and he works there and he's been following the patients for about 6 months. And a lot of patients just being on probiotics, it completely reverses their symptoms. And so the gut microbiome, that's been a huge area of his research. And I've been telling him, you know, intermittent fasting actually has shown to alter the gut microbiome. There's studies that showing intermittent fasting and the change in the gut microbiome and like increased cognitive function and memory and all that. So I think that's something I want him to add maybe to his.
That's very cool. And is he open to that idea?
I've been talking to him. I need to show him some of the studies. I've told him about the New England Journal of Medicine. So to combine that with the probiotic and how that can change the gut microbiome, I think that's an amazing area that's being studied too.
Have you read The Diet Myth by Tim Spector?
No, I have not.
I would pull that one out. That is such a good book. Tim Spector is a research scientist from England, Great Britain.
Uh-huh.
And he is actually the head of the British Gut Project. So I would bet your dad is familiar with his work. He's also done a lot of work with twins.
Okay.
You know, they're studying like the relationship between the gut, your genetics, your health, all of that, and how that he actually is doing some work right now, a new study. They're still gathering the data. I know some friends that have participated in it as subjects for the study where they're tracking, you know, continuous glucose monitoring and based on foods that you're eating and how your body responds to those. But The Diet Myth by Tim Spector is a really, really great book.
Okay.
And he mentions fasting in there. It's several years old. It's not new, but I'm fascinated. Tim Spector and Mark Mattson, they're my two favorite research scientists.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, no, that's a lie. My favorite research scientist is my husband, Dr. Chad Stevens. Okay, but those other two are my second and third favorite, so...
Sure. Mattson's, I think his review article was talking about the effect of intermittent fasting in all the neurodegenerative disorders like Alzheimer's. I think it's still preclinical stage yet. They need more studies, but it's showing how it can actually help with Alzheimer's. And
that's his research specialty. Mattson is the brain guy, but a lot of it is we do need more work on it. But it's so promising. Well, I'll be interested to hear if you can get your dad on board.
Oh, sure. That'll be amazing. And my husband, he's not a physician, and he was skeptical in the beginning because he's seen me try all sorts of things, Jin, in the last few years. And so he thought, oh, this is another one of her things and it's going to pass on. But it's been almost a year, and he is amazed at the, not just the weight loss, but the non-scale victories. Like my migraine, it was like a huge issue at home, right? Because it was affecting not just my work, but my life at home. And so now that I'm free of it, the back pain, the bloating, it's just, he was so impressed that he's on board now. He's doing, off and on 16-8, not regularly. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of weight to lose anyways.
Right. That's like my husband. Yep. He never needed to lose the weight, but he became sold on the health benefits. And so he started doing it.
Mm-hmm. And for him, I think, again, getting used to the fact that I won't be eating dinner with my family, that was a little bit, he was worried that, he felt bad that I would be sitting with them and just sipping. I usually sip like a mug of hot water or sparkling water or something. But, once he realized that, hey, this is actually helping her and it's better, he's on board. And if they're eating something really good, I just tell him, hey, can you save something for me for my window?
Right. You could have it later. Delay.
Exactly. So that's interesting too. Yeah. He's happy that this doesn't cost anything too. Because I've never tried any fad diets before. Being in the health profession, I knew that diets don't work. So I was always trying calorie counting and exercising and all that. But there was one diet that I did try. Have you heard of Metafast at all?
Is it where you, or do you take shakes? Is it that kind of thing?
Yes, it's a protein-based diet. And so they
protein shakes.
Yes, and sachets and food and everything. And you eat only that. And the reason I tried that for a while is one of my friends was a coach for that. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give it a try. But that can get expensive because you're buying all your food from them. And so our daily grocery bill was like getting to 200, 300 just on that. So then that's something that my husband was happy about. This intermittent fasting costs nothing and works amazing.
Saves you money. You're eating less food. Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about something you said earlier. You said that, 80% of the chronic diseases that you see in your work would be connected to dietary choices. So, as a physician, how do you think that intermittent fasting could really just change the health of our nation and the world?
So studies, have shown how obesity and obesity is actually a hormonal disease. And obesity is linked to a lot of the chronic diseases, whether it be diabetes or heart disease and the metabolic syndrome I talked about. And the basis of all that is basically what's been shown is insulin resistance. It's not the high amount of calories you're eating. It's not the lack of exercise. It's basically this hormonal basis, insulin resistance. And so if we can somehow increase the sensitivity to insulin or decrease insulin levels and break that insulin resistance, it's going to help people lose weight. It's going to help bring the numbers down, the metabolic syndrome numbers, like the high triglycerides, the high blood pressure, the fasting glucose, the resting heart rate. I mean, to help with all these numbers and to cut the risk for this chronic disease and heart disease, it's basically the starting point is your insulin and avoiding insulin resistance in kids as they grow up, or when you're if you're an adult and you're already insulin resistant, trying to break that by fasting. And so, and Dr. Jason Fung has so many amazing, there's this book, The Obesity Code, and then there's a lot of, audiobooks, and there's a lot of YouTube videos on that, just talking about how fasting and how keeping your insulin levels low can actually help you overcome this metabolic syndrome, all these numbers, and keep yourself healthy. And that's going to increase your longevity, and that's going to decrease your chance of getting diabetes. Even diabetic patients, as I've said with my sister's experience, even diabetic patients have gone off insulin or even reversed their diabetes just by fasting. It's never too late to get on the fasting thing because, you know, there are patients who have had bariatric surgery and all that. And then that is an example of showing how no matter how obese or no matter how bad the numbers were, you know, you can actually get back with fasting. You can reverse the whole cycle. And that's the beauty of it because it's never too late for people to start.
I love that. I mean, that's just so much hope. And the fact that, I mean, I do think that the New England Journal of Medicine article was the turning point.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there was talk before that. There's been articles like, I think, in the Cell Biology and
right.
There's been some other articles too. But once it came into the NEJM, then it's just, and I start with that now, as I said, with my conversation with other physicians, I start with, hey, did you know that there's this article in the New England Journal of Medicine? And then,
right.
You know, from there. And that's a good article, the book, Jason Funk's. And then your book, The Delay Don't Deny, I think I loved it. Such a practical, easy read to have hand in hand because sometimes this New England Journal, that can be a little bit more scientific
right.
based, more sciencey. And so to have something more easy read, I think that Delay Don't Deny is amazing. And I can't
well,
wait for
you.
Your next book. Is that coming out?
Well, and at the time that this podcast is out, that's scheduled for July 2nd, by this date, when it comes out, my book will already have been out for a month. So the release date is June 2nd. So we're recording this at the end of March. So we're still not out there yet. But
okay.
June 2nd, so as of this podcast date, people will be able to get it. So Fast, Feast, Repeat, available hopefully everywhere that you get your books. And it is a deeper dive into the science. But I used my same writing style to teach people, you know, just like I did in Delay, Don't Deny.
I love that. It's such a nice, you know, like
thank you.
Conversational, very practical, very down to earth, which people need.
Well, I'm a teacher. You know, I'm not a doctor and you know, I'm sure with handling the science and explaining it, there may be some errors in there, layperson errors, and you know, that's entirely possible because I'm a teacher, but I think that, you know, that is my gift is taking something complicated and teaching it to other people because that's what teachers do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait for your book. I trust your validation so much, Jin. I actually started subscribing to Plated, but now they don't do the Plated meal delivery service anymore.
Nope, they're gone. Yep. Have you started with Martha and Marley Spoon yet?
No.
That's my
okay.
new one. If you go to
Is
Jen Stevens, yep. Since Plated went out of business, I was super sad. But if you go, and so I tried a bunch of ones after that, trying to find one. And so then I found Martha and Marley Spoon. And if you go to jenstevens.com on the favorite things tab, there's a link to Martha and Marley Spoon, and you can save like $20 a week for your first 4 weeks. So it's like you save $80 overall
yep.
on it. And we have been so pleased with Martha and Marley Spoon that my husband actually likes it better than Plated.
Oh, interesting.
Nice so, to know. Yes.
Yeah, we tried Blue Apron for a while and then, okay, so I'll look into this.
Yep, Martha and Marley Spoon. The link is there on jenstevens.com on the favorite things tab and we really love it. I was really glad to find them because I kept trying different ones and I'm like, well, they're not as good and they're not as good. And then I was sad about Plated and then
sure.
finally I tried this one and I liked it so much that I reached out to them and said, hey, would you like to sponsor my podcast? And they said, sure. So that was exciting because, you know, I love them so much. And now I'm spreading that to other people.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I have the Juve, the red light therapy.
Right.
I bought the Fields, the Serapeptase.
The CBD. So oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. I'm totally on board with whatever you're saying.
I love it. Well, I love that. But I really do. You know, if I say I love something, I really, really do. So... There was one product. Well, I won't get into that. But people can tell if I love something or if I don't, basically. Mm-hmm. So with the things that I'm talking about now, you can tell I love them.
Yeah.
We are coming to the end of our time together. This has been such a great discussion. I love hearing from physicians. I love hearing from every guest, but I really love hearing from physicians because it validates what we're doing. And I know the audience loves to hear from physicians as well, because you know, especially early on, it felt a little scary, like fasting was the Wild West and we felt like we were bucking the system. But now as you're coming on board and the science is validating it, it just makes us all feel like, you know, if we run across a naysayer, we don't have to be afraid.
That's right.
And so, you know, as we end this podcast episode today, what would you tell someone just starting off with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Yeah, I would, a couple of things. First of all, you know, to understand the science behind it, which really helped me. So either Dr. Jason Fung's Obesity Code, you know, listening to his audio or YouTube videos, and then of course your book, The Delay Don't Deny. And then to start small and simple, you know, not to just jump on like 24 or 48 hours, but, you know, maybe with 14 or 15 hours and then slowly increase it. And just to be persistent, it took me a month or almost 2 months to be comfortable with it. And so not to just give up too early, but just to, because it is going to, you are going to see the difference. It's going to show it on the scale. It's going to show on the NOD scale, a lot of other areas of your life. And in the beginning, you know, listening to podcasts just to keep yourself encouraged and keep it going. And an organized person like me, I use some apps. Like there's an app called Zero. And then I think your son has an app called Windows. Is that right? So,
well, he created that app and then he sold it spring of 2019. So he's no longer affiliated with the Window app, but I will always have a soft spot in my heart for it. Because he made it sitting right in his bedroom at our old house. Like I can still picture him sitting there making it for me. But now it's different. They've changed it and it has a different subscription model. But I still will always love it because, you know, that was my boy. And it was kind of like, you know, we worked together to come up with something and that made me really proud. And he was in college when he did it. So he was only like, gosh, 18 years old when he made it the first time. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So yes, that's get an amazing app.
Yes, app if you want to have some tangible reminder. And then finally, just tweak it, you know, just make it fit your lifestyle. Just like for me, I had to move the window to the morning hours to make it just fit my day and my lifestyle. So whatever, you know, you can tweak it and make it, because this is going to be, it is not a diet. It's going to be your lifestyle. And then you want to make sure you'll be able to do it. So yeah.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for being here today. And I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, Jen. It was amazing.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.